Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 a.m. every Sunday morning on public access channel number 6 on your TV. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll find these MP3 programs of our radio programs, also our TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you but you to come with an open Bible, an open mind, study God's Word with us, worship Him with us, and let us show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We are looking at the subject of sin, and last week we began looking at the subject of the punishment for sin. And we noticed that there is punishment for sin. When men transgress God's law, there is a punishment. Guilt brings a punishment. Consequences of sin are terrible and can affect many different people. We die physically because of Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, Scripture says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." We inherited death. We didn't inherit Adam's sin, but we inherited physical death. We are not going to live on the earth forever. That's a consequence of Adam's sin, physical death. He would go back to the dust of the ground, and we go back to the dust of the ground. That's a consequence of sin, and we're all guilty of sin, Romans 3:23. Now, we die physically. Some happens because of the relationship of the sinner. In Hosea 4, verse 6, the great prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Their lack of knowledge, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When men don't know God's word, they're going to find themselves suspect to commit sin. What happens when a driver loses control of their vehicle because he's going too fast or drunk behind the wheel? Many innocent people are killed. Death is a direct result of that sin. Individually, there is responsibility for personal sin. King David understood that with the sin of Bathsheba. Read Psalms 51. He acknowledges his own sin and the punishment that came with it. Does one who commits sin sin against God? Absolutely. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph to commit adultery while Potiphar was gone and was no one in the house except him and his wife, he told Potiphar's wife, "How can I do this great sin against God?" Forget that it was against Potiphar. He wouldn't do it against Potiphar, but first and foremost, he wouldn't do it against God, because all sin, first and foremost, violates God's will. You have sinned against Him. Leaving a situation which was right and honorable, marriage, for one which was dishonorable and adultery. He said no. He refused to do it because it was sin. In 1 John 1, verse 8, we've all committed sin. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar, and the truth not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8. Our sins, first and foremost, are against God. Fellowship with God is affected by our action. When we sin, it affects our relationship with God. Sin must be dealt with, and sin will always have a punishment. Punishment for sin is eternal in nature. Wages of sin is spiritual death, that's what Romans 3:23 teaches. Adam and Eve being forced out of the Garden of Eden is the direct example because they sinned. Remember what God said, in the day that you eat of it, you will die. They died spiritually that day. Why? They were driven from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, there was a consequence. There was a punishment for their action. You see, it was a foreshadowing of the sinner standing before God without justification. When the sinner stands before God and he has no justification for his action, then he is guilty of sin. And that sin has to be dealt with. That sin must be punished, and that punishment has to be enacted. God is the giver of life and the sustainer of life, according to Acts 17, verse 25. And He is the arbitrator by which all are going to pay for their sin. Death occurs whenever something is separated from the source of life. Not just the spirit from the body, but when a man is separated from God for all eternity, that's spiritual death. This death also involves punishment. It involves torment. Read the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. Revelation 21 verse 8 says there's a place where the wicked are going to spend eternity, and where the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched, and there's tormenting day and night. Read Matthew 22:13, 25 verse 30. The English word for hell, translated henya, is eternal abode of the sinner, a perpetual place of fire and suffering for the destruction and sin in our life. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, the Lord himself said, don't fear the one that can just kill the body, but fear the one that can cast both body and soul into hell, and that's God, Matthew 10:28. Fire is not quenched, the worm does not die. Read Mark chapter 9, 47 and 48. In a real fire, the worm would finally explode by the expanding of the cell contents in his body. What could be more repulsive than this sight? A place where the worm does not die, in a fire that is not quenched. Inconceivable? Man cannot fathom such thoughts. Whatever man suffers in this life has no comparison to what he will suffer eternally in the next life if he does not repent of his sin. Is it going to happen? Is this a true statement, or is this myth and legend? Some believe God is too loving, too merciful, too full of compassion, and is long-suffering to banish the sinner from his presence and place him in a place of torment forever. Two other theories are also taught on this. Some say wicked won't suffer at all. They'll just be totally destroyed at the end of judgment. Only limited punishment for a limited time. Then all will be saved. This is called universalism. These claim that the words destroy and death cannot be taken literally. Man just ceases to exist. Simple, right? Yeah, but it's not biblical. However, the concept of eternal extends to both life and death. The Bible speaks in many places, and it does in Matthew 25, verse 46, Revelation 14, verse 11, 20 and verse 10, 22 and verse 5. It tells about everlasting life, eternal life. If hell is not eternal, then how can we believe that heaven is? Hell's just as eternal as heaven is, and both of them are eternal. One is reward, one is punishment. Others just cannot fathom any to be lost. They believe that all will be saved. This concept totally ignores the justice of God that we read about in Hebrews 10, verse 29 through 31. It says God is a consuming fire. And what does it say? It is a dreaded thing. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to what he said. He said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If there's no punishment for sin, what would be fearful about it? There is something fearful about falling into the hands of a consuming God. These also claim it is unfair to punish men for sin, which took place over a period of a few years for eternity. The problem is, here it misses the serious nature of sin. Sin is rebellion against God and deserves this drastic punishment. This is a person that chose to disrespect God, to rebel against God, and that comes with a punishment. Both of these understandings undermine morality. If there are no punitive consequences for moral choices made, why worry about even doing wrong or right? It doesn't really matter, does it? There is not even a standard of right and wrong. In many people's minds, there is no such thing as wrong. Everything is subjective. In Galatians chapter 6, the Lord put this to rest when he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. We also read in Colossians 3, verse 25, that we will get the reward of punishment that we deserve. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 10, the scripture teaches God desires that no one to perish. God wants them to repent, and he wants them to come to repentance that they might be saved. But that's up to them. That's their choice. They have a responsibility. They must choose life or death. God leaves it in their hands. And Hebrews 6:18 says God cannot lie, so men must decide who they believe. Why the word of God? This is the source of the commandments we must obey. We become a servant of righteousness or a slave to sin. Romans 6:16 through 18. He's the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And what will judge us in the last day? The word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day, John 12, verse 48. There's valuable lessons that we need to learn. God means what he says, period. God means what he says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heaven forbid, Romans 3, verse 4. When he told Adam and Eve they would die that day, they died, Genesis chapter 3, 22 through 24. When God told Israel he would turn them back to their enemies, he did. When God told them that they would cry for his help and he would not listen, he did. God makes no exceptions. He didn't make an exception with Moses. He didn't make an exception with David when he sinned. They had to accept the consequences for their actions that were contrary to God. We all will give an account before God. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether it be good, whether it be bad. And in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, the Lord himself says that all that are in the graves will hear his voice. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and they will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's only going to be two outcomes at the end. It's either going to be pleasant or it's going to be unpleasant. It's going to be eternal righteousness or it's going to be eternal punishment. We accept and know that in our relationships on this earth, discipline and punishment are part of those relationships. Discipline can be corrective and punitive in nature. God, not men, will render the final verdicts in our lives, but they will be rendered. Mark it down. Being disciplined by the church for a failure to obey God, being disciplined by our parents for our rebellion and disobedience, or even by civil government breaking the law, all of it fails in comparison to what eternal separation from God means in a devil's hell. None of the wicked will escape the punishment God has prepared for the unprepared. None of the righteous will fail to be rewarded. In 2 Thessalonians, we end with this passage. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired by all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 10. The only question you and I need to ask is, will we be ready when that day comes? Will you be ready for the Lord in judgment when he comes? Ladies and gentlemen, do not make the grand mistake that so many in the world are making, that God's so loving, kind, full of compassion, long-suffering, that he would send no one to a devil's hell. Sin has consequences. Those consequences are grave. And if we die in our sin without repenting of our sin, and if we fail to seek God's conditions to come to repentance so he can forgive us, we will face the consequences of his eternal vengeance. Ladies and gentlemen, it might not be pretty and it might not be accepted by the majority, but rest assured, the biblical truth in God's word, sin has consequences, and that consequence is terrible. Thank you for listening. Have a